Join Aubrey Masango, evenings on 702.
Kerry Culver is here with me in studio. She's senior immigration consultant at Expat Web. And she joins me now. Kerry, good evening to you and thank you so much for joining us.
Aubrey, thanks so much for having me.
Listen, what is this remote work visa? What is that?
We are really excited for the introduction of the visa. Essentially, it aims to bring high-earning individuals into the country so they can live here and work here. Obviously, there are requirements. If we look at the quintessential requirements of the visa itself, as you mentioned, the candidate will need to earn a minimum annual income of 1 million rand. And I think a pertinent factor of this is the candidate will need to be employed by a foreign entity. So this is not for people who are coming to look for work in South Africa. This is for someone who is employed by a foreign company who allows remote work to come into South Africa, enjoy all that we have to offer while bolstering the economy.
One of the things that I had with your colleague, a conversation that I had with your colleague Marissa a couple of months ago around the issue of the work visa, particularly for high-end individuals, was that we were looking at a backlog at the time. This is about 6 months ago, I think, of something like 63,000 people that had made applications for a visa to South Africa. And these were people that were critical skills type people that had been offered employment by companies in South Africa, whether it was South African companies or multinational companies that were based in South Africa for whatever reason. And 63,000, I think, was the number that was bandied about at the time. How are we doing with that? And how is this new visa regime going to help with that?
Well, some good points there, and I think let's start with the backlog, because I think that's a very important factor to keep in mind. The news hasn't gotten better. So the backlog is currently sitting at about 94,000, and it does fluctuate.
94,000.
We've gone up. We have gone up.
Oh, that.
But I think it's important to note what the department are doing to bring the backlog down. But we can go back to the 94,000.
So we were at 63,000. Now we are at 94,000, and that's the backlog at the moment.
Correct.
Okay.
But we have the introduction of some programs,
okay,
which we'll chat about later. One of them being the remote worker visa, and it alleviates the pressure of visitors' visas. Although it'll be in the same section under the Act, as I alluded to earlier, it's aimed at high net worth earners coming into South Africa and then spending here while working here. And again, just takes the pressure off of your standard visitor visa, Section 11-1, which is just a normal entry visa.
Look, I you know, to be fair to the Department of Home Affairs, I understand the difficulties that they have to deal with the changing of the visa regimes in the context of all of the immigration issues we are dealing with as a country, but as a globe, immigration is a big issue. Before you tell me about how and what the programs are at the moment, I really want to just touch the issues that are high level in this conversation. It's encouraging to hear that up to 94,000 people, high net worth people, want to come and work in South Africa. That's a good thing, isn't it?
So that 94,000 spans across all visa categories.
All visa categories.
Right, okay. And that's from permanent residency to visit visas.
Right.
Critical skills, general work visas, it's an amalgamation of everything.
So do you have any idea or sense as to what is the number for those critical skills, the high net worth individuals that are wanting to come to South Africa? Do we have a sense of what the number is there?
Unfortunately, not at the moment, because the applications haven't opened yet.
Right.
So I think as soon as the applications open, we'll have a better understanding of the demand for the program itself.
Is it high, though?
It should be. I mean, if we look at the amount of people who come into South Africa and absolutely fall in love with the country and want to stay here, there really isn't a route available for them that allows them to come and work here for their foreign national company. And I think this route is really going to, help a lot of people who come, visit, fall in love with the country, go back home, say, right, I want to stay in South Africa for a little bit longer, but I want to continue earning my income. So I think the demand will be high. We were speaking about some of the aspects that South Africa has. And if we look at the garden route, that's not just something that has to be a holiday destination. You can set your laptop up and work from
live
anywhere
there
and live
work
there and
yeah,
work
sure.
there and contribute to the economy in these small towns. If we look at smaller towns along the coast, places like Sedgefield, Mossel Bay, George, small towns that foreign nationals absolutely fall in love with.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Maybe you're a foreign national listening to this show and you are somebody who's considered to be a critical skill, maybe even a high net worth individual, and you found it hard to come into South Africa because of the visa regime. Give me a call. What has your experience been? Yeah. I'm interested also to hear from those of you who are overseas, yeah, listening to this show, and whatever difficulties you might have had trying to come into South Africa with regards to the visa regime. Talk to me about the programs that are now available that are connected to this remote visa.
So the remote work visa stands alone, but it's one of a few that the Department of Home Affairs have introduced to firstly bolster economic growth and then make it easier for foreign nationals, skilled foreign nationals, to come into the country. One of the programs that has had great success in very recent months is the Trusted Employer Scheme. Essentially it's a point-based system that allows employers to submit an application to the Department of Home Affairs to become a trusted employer and essentially eliminates a lot of the red tape and the processing times that these big companies that are based in South Africa are facing when looking to bring foreign talent in. And that scheme has the success is astounding thus far. So the first round of applications closed on the 20th of November. There were 108 companies that applied, 68 were approved. And during a press conference, the minister announced on the 9th that the second round of invitations would be opening. There are measures in place, and the department is really showing what they can do as an A-team to bring that backlog down and to bolster economic growth within the country. And I think the remote visa speaks to that as well. And it's one of the measures that are being put in place to really help sustainability within the economic field.
How does it work? How does the remote work? Remote visa work? I found myself waxing lyrical right at the beginning, talking about if you are overseas and you want to come and work in South Africa, and if you are over in South Africa but remotely, if you want to come and work remotely in South Africa, just explain that. Give me the words to describe what that means.
Okay, so as an example, I am employed by a ABC corporation, and we are based in Germany. My employer allows remote work, so I can work from anywhere in the world. I can open my laptop and I can work. And I decide that I'd like to make Cape Town or Johannesburg my temporary home while I conduct my work. So you would make an application at either your local embassy or High Commission or through a visa facilitation center. The application is then adjudicated. You have your visa. You can come to South Africa for a period of six months. So we expect that the visa will be issued for a period of 6 months and then will be extended to a further 12 months. Again, this is expected because it hasn't been gazetted as yet. So that I can then come over from Germany or wherever my company is based. I can rent an apartment. I can open a bank account and I can work remotely from South Africa. And as soon as my visa is up, it is time for me to pack my bags and head back to my home country or go to another country that offers remote work visa options. And countries like Australia, Germany, Dubai, the Cayman Islands, these are all countries that offer this program already. So I think South Africa is, you know, we are joining the times with a remote work visa as well.
Would there be any mandatory requirement that country based in, I mean, that company based in Germany would have to have some site, some sort of satellite, some sort of presence in South Africa?
No, absolutely not. And again, I think that comes back to the quintessential requirements of the visa application. You cannot be employed by a South African employer or a subsidiary of the company abroad. You are solely employed by the company abroad, and of course meeting the monthly minimum income or annual income of R1 million.
So you're saying to me that a company that is not necessarily physically based in South Africa, which allows for remote working for its employees, and if that employee chooses to live in South Africa for whatever reason, can now come and live in South Africa and work for that company remotely. South Africa has a visa regime for that.
Absolutely.
What does South Africa get out of that?
I think it comes back down to, if we look at what will this person need? They will need somewhere to sleep. So that is accommodation. They will need food. They will go out. And they will spend money. Essentially, it is attracting foreign currency into the country. These people will be spending money. And at the end of the day, I mean, the economic benefit of foreign nationals coming into this country, you know, it's exponential. So I think that really is the target of it, is bolstering the economy through bringing in foreign funds.
Sure. But there is no, and you spoke about the fact that this person has to be making at least R1 million a year. What is the tax implication for the South African economy in that instance?
So the minister has alluded to an instance where if you come to South Africa for 6 months or less, there will be no tax implications. You will still pay tax, you know, in your home country. Further to that, he sort of explained that if the visa was extended for a further 6 months, meeting the 12-month mark, only then would the candidate need to register with SARS. But I think it is important to circle back on tax as well. And it's also really dependent on what country you are coming from. Because there are, you know, DTA agreements in place, which is dual taxation agreements, where either credits can be taken from the tax that you're paying in South Africa versus the tax that you are paying in your home country to ensure that you're not taxed twice. But if we look at a country like Argentina, where South Africa doesn't have a DTA agreement in place, you know, so it's going to be extremely dependent on where you are coming from, but it also remains to be seen. You know, at this point, there are a lot of uncertainties, and the legislation is still quite ambiguous. So we're waiting in anticipation, and we're really excited to see how they tackle it and which direction they go into.
Talk to me about the other way around. South African citizen who wants to go and live in Germany. How does the remote control visa work in that instance? In other words, here's a South African. He wants to go and live in Germany. His company allows him to, or her company allows her to work in remotely. How does the remote visa work for that person?
I think it would just depend on the legislation per that country. Obviously, Germany is under the Schengen regime, so it would be based on what their requirements are for that specific country.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that the remote visa is really an invitation, yeah? An invitation for high net worth individuals who are able to work remotely to come to South Africa and live here and spend money here for some time.
Absolutely.
That's basically what it is.
That is basically it. And some time at the moment is looking at about 12 months.
Right.
But again, it's yet to be seen. And of course, if high net worth individuals want to come to South Africa and they don't want to work, South Africa has an incredible retired person's visa,
right,
which allows you to come and retire in South Africa at any age, as long as you meet a monthly minimum income of 37,000 rand. And again, it bolsters economic growth in coastal towns, in rural areas where, you know, a lot of people coming into South Africa to retire are either going to coastal areas or to remote areas, you know, in the Karoo.
The Karoo, yeah. You know, I'm hearing that
the Karoo is very, very
popular these days. With foreign nationals, yeah?
And it's beautiful. I mean, it's something that you don't get. We are so fortunate to have such a diverse landscape in this country.
The lamb chops there are amazing.
Oh no, they are phenomenal.
Stop. Here are some of my fears, and allay them, please, if you can. One of the blessings, one of the great things about remote work is precisely that you can work from anywhere in the world. But the geopolitics of the world are such that there are countries and spaces that are enemies to each other for whatever reason, whose enmity has been clearly defined in terms of geographical space that they occupy. So country X is not friends with country Y. And from the point of view of people working in country X, they will never get to work in country Y while the enmity still exists. Here we are, we have this visa arrangement where we're inviting people who can work remotely. Are we not opening a possibility where South Africa can be the place from whence people can be engaged in operations, in jobs that may be illegal? Maybe not even just illegal, but maybe antisocial, globally antisocial. We've heard stories, for example, of cells of certain so-called terrorist organizations being opened in South Africa. We've heard, for example, how South Africa has been a haven for an industry such as the kidnapping and human traffic industry, because South Africa has these liberal sort of immigration sort of ways of doing things. Now, I'm not saying that some guy working in the Karoo is necessarily plotting against Russia to bomb them. I'm not saying that that's the case. But here's a Mission Impossible sort of type of scenario for you. A guy who is plotting against the Israeli government, for example, decides he is going to come to South Africa under the auspices of Company X in Germany, is involved in terrorist action here in South Africa. Are there no implications that we should be thinking about as far as that is concerned? You know, I can't come up with a real scenario, but I'm just trying to think that the world has become so treacherous these days. People, because they are not geographically bound to a particular place, they can work remotely. And there are these global tensions that take place in the world where you can literally bomb a whole city sitting in Soweto somewhere. You know, I'm being facetious. But do you see what I'm trying to say here?
No, absolutely.
What are the what are the protective measures around such issues with this visa?
Look, it's a very valid point, and I absolutely agree with you. I think it comes down to putting faith into the adjudicators right. of these applications, and knowing that they know what they are doing. And I think there are measures put in place to ensure security. I don't want to get political. It's not something I'm well versed in, but you know, I think again, it comes down to measures that have been put in place to stop acts of terrorism, and I, again, circle back to putting pressure on the adjudicators and ensuring that they are well versed in their jobs. I mean, look, you're not going to stop every single person from coming into South Africa, sure. but there are measures that have been put into sure. place. To stop these people from coming in.
A friend of mine went to the US yesterday and had to go for a visa application process. And, you know, with the US, you've got to go and get interviewed and so forth.
Tough process.
And that interview had to take place in Durban. He lives here in Joburg. Had to fly to Durban to go and have that interview. Where does the interview for somebody looking for a remote visa happen if I'm living in Germany? Would I have to go to the South African embassy in Germany to have that interview?
Correct. So your application will be submitted through your embassy or right. High Commission
right.
Or through the Visa Facilitation Center.
Okay. Give me a call, 011-883-0702, if you are living in anywhere in the world. Maybe not so much a South African, right? Living in South Africa, but maybe somebody who's interested in South Africa and you are thinking maybe you'd like to come and live in this country. You've heard some good things about the country. You've heard about the chops in the Karoo. You've heard about the prawns and the kreef. Hey, in the Knysna. Hey, you've heard about all of these wonderful things that we have here in South Africa. The fynbos in Kaapstad. And you're thinking about coming to South Africa and you're a high net worth individual. Your company allows you to work remotely. And you've heard about some great stuff. You want to move to, I don't know, to White River in Mpumalanga. I was in White River a couple of days ago.
I'm from Nelspruit.
Are you from Nelspruit?
I am.
Well, I was in White River a couple of
beautiful
days ago.
Part of the country.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I don't know why people don't talk about White River so much.
It is a beautiful, beautiful part of
it
the country.
It is absolutely
I'm
beautiful.
So proud
Those
of it.
Macadamia nut farms and all. It was absolutely amazing. I thought, like, hey, where am I? Anyway, give me a call, 011-883-0702. We've got a lot of people listening to us from various parts of the world. And maybe you are listening and you're thinking about moving to South Africa. Why would you move to South Africa? Have you heard about the remote visa? And is this something that you would want to try out? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. There was a bit of a boo-boo, though. When the minister was announcing this, I'm sure whether you want to talk about it or not, maybe I should ask him. But there was a bit of a boo-boo where there was the announcement of the situation and then it was retracted. And what was the story there?
So essentially they gazetted a day before comments were supposed to be finalized. And I don't want to talk too much of it. And as you mentioned, maybe you should speak to the minister directly about it.
They listen.
They listen. I hope they listen. So we're interested to see what comes out. During the press conference held on the 9th, the minister did say that it would be gazetted by next week. So we're excited to see what changes have been made and what measures have been put in place.
Bushe sends me a message on WhatsApp, says, what if the company is multinational, e.g. EY, Siemens, Deloitte, and a foreigner is employed by the UK branch? Say there is a branch in South Africa too. Would one qualify for the remote work visa?
It would be dependent. If you're coming to South Africa to do work for the South African entity, then you would need to come on an intra-company transfer work visa because you are coming to work for a South African entity. If you will only be working for the UK-based entity, then absolutely. But again, it's important to understand the nuances of these applications and which visa route is going to be right for you and your career path as well. You know, we do a lot of road mapping when looking at a candidate's situation. And it's important to know, okay, well, this visa is going to be valid for X amount of time. Either it's renewable or it's non-renewable. And it comes down to what you want to do at the end as well. So, again, just to circle back to your original question, if the candidate is coming into South Africa to work for the South African entity of the foreign entity, then absolutely they need to have an intra-company transfer work visa. If there's no affiliation, they are only working for the UK entity, they can open their laptop anywhere, then the remote work visa would be right for them.
ZMAX says, Orbs, that remote visa sounds like a favor for the rich, a lengthy visitor's visa for the rich. This is discrimination 99. I can see how somebody can feel that way, that this is nothing more than a way for the rich to come to a particular country. Now, I think most countries want rich people in their countries because those people spend money in their countries. People might get a better chance of employment because companies might be opened and all sorts of things. So I can hear that side of the argument that will be raised. But is there perhaps not a question to be asked about the fact that, listen, this looks like nothing more than a six-month come and have a jawl in South Africa visa?
I think the better question to ask oneself is, why wouldn't we want these people in the country? Why wouldn't we want people spending money on renting apartments, staying at hotels, eating locally, purchasing locally? Why wouldn't we want these individuals here? So I can completely understand with, you know, where the thought is going in terms of the minimum annual income. But again, I bring back to you, and I turn the question as well, why wouldn't we want these people here?
Well, ZMAX, why wouldn't we want these people here? Why wouldn't we want rich people to come and spend money in South Africa for 6 months? I mean, any economy that wants a bit of money wouldn't mind people coming to work in that economy for 6 months. But maybe I'm a bit blindsided here. Give me a call and tell me why we wouldn't want people who are high net worth, who are earning a minimum of a million rand a year to come to South Africa. Why wouldn't we want that? Very good question. Sometimes an answer can be a question, hey? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. I suppose we're going to go into some very interesting territory now. I suppose what ZMAX might be alluding to is the fact that we are seeing efforts being made to make sure that people who do not have critical skills in South Africa do not take the kinds of jobs that would be filled by South Africans who also perhaps are unskilled. And I think the issue is the South African government is creating a corridor for the rich, but it keeps the poor out of South Africa. And I imagine that the answer against that would be, listen, we've got poor in South Africa that we would like to serve first. Perhaps that might be the issue, and that's why there is a critical skills list in that situation. But where there are people that are critical skills, people that don't need to be dependent on the social sort of spend in South Africa's public economy, I suppose that's who you want to have in any country?
Absolutely. I think the critical skills list is there for a reason. It's skills that are in critical need. And one also needs to consider that when wealth comes into the country, employment opportunities follow. It is the reality, and it is essentially, if we can call it, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. When wealth is brought into a country, employment follows. So again, my question sort of comes full circle, is why would we not want high net worth individuals coming in to the country?
Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 11-883-07-702 ZMAX. Listening to us all the way from the United States. Give me a call, ZMAX, and help me wade through the question that you're asking. Maybe there's something that I am a little blindsided to, but I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. So when does it start? When does this regime start?
It is expected to start before the middle of the year. But again, it's ambiguous at the moment. We're not entirely sure when it's going to start, and that's why processing times can't really be confirmed at this point. There is a lot hanging in the air, but there are a lot of certainties, and we are certain that this is going to be an incredible visa regime for South Africa, and we're really excited to get started on it.
What are the impediments? Why is it taking some time?
I think there's a lot to be considered as well. I think jumping the gun last week, or in the beginning of this week, I think, you know, there are a lot of considerations to be taken when bringing a new visa into legislation. And it doesn't happen overnight. So I think it is a waiting game. And at this point, we will wait patiently, but it is imminent. And that's the exciting part.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. I'm really looking forward to the calls. I see calls starting to come through from those of you who are asking questions around this particular visa. Bandile is in Alberton. Hi, Bandile.
Yeah, Obs. How are you, Obs?
I'm well. I'm well, thanks. Go ahead, Bandile.
Good man. I just wanted to clarify, and I think it's important to note that it's not about this visa is not about South Africans actually losing jobs, because it's people from outside of South Africa working for companies outside of South Africa. So it doesn't really affect jobs within the South African market. What it does, though, from my view and my understanding, is that it just brings money into South Africa.
Yes.
Without affecting the jobs in South Africa.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm seeing it. So
yeah.
I think people must not fear this whole visa thing and be all up in arms about this visa thing, because it's really about bringing money into South Africa,
right.
Not about taking jobs away.
Right, right. Not just money, but also critical skills, I suppose. Because,
absolutely.
Because maybe those kinds of people are the people that can cross-pollinate just in terms of the skills that they have. But I want you to entertain for me, Bandile. Maybe, you know, I'm aware that I might be blindsided here. Max, a very good friend of the show, he's out in the United States. Him and I have had many conversations around issues of immigration, visas, and so forth. As you can hear from his name, Zim Max, he's a Zimbabwean national. And we've had some pretty robust conversations in the past around the issue. And he's saying, but Orbs, that remote visa sounds like a favor for the rich, a lengthy visitor's visa for the rich. This is discrimination 9-9. And my sense is that he's referring to conversations that him and I have had before about the fact that there are moves to stop particularly people from the continent who have perhaps minimal skills to come into South Africa. But here we are creating visas for people who are rich and probably from Europe, I suppose, is what Max would be saying. How do you deal with that?
I think rich is relative, Orbs. I really think rich is relative. If he thinks, people who all...
Hello, Bandile. If he thinks...
all people in a million rand plus are rich. I think there's a certain flaw in that, right? Because not everybody who earns a million rand is actually or considers themselves rich or are actually rich. There's a fundamental issue with that. But I still think that even the fact that what I was speaking about in terms of they're not taking away jobs. What are these people the people who are poor and coming into South Africa, what are they bringing to the economy, number one? And are they taking jobs from South Africans, number two, right? Most people are taking away jobs. Are taking away jobs from South Africans. And by the way, this is not a case of from a xenophobic perspective of we don't want people coming to take away sure. jobs. I agree that there are skills that come from outside of South Africa, whether it's from Zimbabwe or from Zambia or anywhere within Africa, where we need people to actually come into South Africa and who have critical skills and come in, right?
And this remote visa would be
it's not taking away jobs. It's jobs that are sitting in your other countries outside of South Africa,
yeah.
right? So it doesn't really affect the job situation in South Africa. I think it creates jobs in South Africa, because you need those skills. You need people who are going to, from the low level of cleaning all these apartments where people would actually be coming in. I'm already thinking about talking to my employer about, hey, yeah. guys, you employ people outside of South Africa who have remote jobs. Bring them into South Africa for the next 12 months. Just to bolster the economy of South Africa. But
sorry, before you go, Bandile, Kerry wants to say something. Go ahead, Kerry.
Bandile, thank you so much for your call. I think it's important just to keep in mind that with the remote work visa, the candidate cannot be employed from a local entity. Absolutely speaking to the fact that the program won't take any jobs away from South Africans. But if there is a South African employer who has an expatriate sitting in Germany, this is not a visa that is going to allow that company then to bring the expatriate into South Africa. And I think that's it's a very, very important factor
because
to
there
consider.
Is another part of the visa regime
absolutely.
That caters for that.
There are many other work visas that cater for that. But you cannot, as a South African employer, go, I have candidates sitting in Germany that I want to bring in. The program is not designed for South African employers.
And that's perfect. That's perfect. I think it still speaks to the fact that it's still creating jobs within South Africa and still bringing in money from outside of South Africa. I completely support this.
Okay, Wendy in Alberton. Ngosi Khona says the downside of the remote visa is that when people are here and are paid in foreign currency, what follows is increasing rental prices, which start pushing South Africans further away from the CBD as they no longer afford renting nearer to places of work. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is something to consider, but maybe. Perhaps we need to have some sort of regime around that. Maybe some sort of way of saying, listen, you can't just raise the prices because people are getting paid in dollars. But I hear you, Nkosi Khona. TK is in Krugersdorp. Hi, TK.
Hi, Aubrey. Just to follow on to what Bandile was saying just now, is that the problem is that if we have an influx of people that come with their dollars or different currencies, then they come weigh us down, because as a local South African, I can't afford to go to Kruger National Park, which I'm supposed to enjoy as a South African, because yes, they're here to do their remote work, but while they're here...
Why can't you go to Kruger National Park?
I can't afford it. It's out of my bracket. I can't afford it. It's too expensive for me, because they are...
When was the last time you were at the Kruger National Park?
I've never been, because
let me tell you it's a very important thing you're raising, TK. I was there last week.
Much is it
in all of the parks, whether you go to the three rondavels, to the Kruger National Park, to the, there are price regimes for South Africans, non-South Africans, and international so in other words, if you are a South African, there's a price that you pay to enter the park, which a person from SADC doesn't get, and a person from the United States or from Europe doesn't get either. So there is a price regime that is created. I was there last week.
Yeah, but over and above that, as you were talking about, also I wanted to highlight the rental issues as well as the places where the foreign or remote workers will be staying. Those obviously will be priced on the higher and to entice those people. And the problem is that when they come here, for them $1,000 compared to our currency, for them is nothing. So they get anything
Do you think we should keep them out?
No, we still need to. They can come as tourists, but it shouldn't be something that is sort of like a permanent thing. And over and above that, it will also increase the influx of other people that are not even falling within the million rand bracket, thinking that this is an overall blanket that covers everyone, even though it's only specific for those that are only doing the remote work and fall within the million rand bracket. So
please go to the Kruger National Park, TK.
I will.
It's really not that expensive, specifically for South Africans.
Thank you, Aubrey.
All right. Kerry?
No, all good from my side. I mean, I definitely understand where TK is coming from. But I think it's important. We've got to look at the pros and cons. We cannot just say, oh, well, rent is going to increase. Okay, but there are going to be staff within that building. Those staff have families to feed. So again, I think we need to look at the pros and cons of every situation and every visa application. I don't think there is a scenario in the world where there are no cons. And I think that the effects or the negative effects or the presumed negative effects will be extremely minimal when we look at the reality of the benefits.
Yeah. You've already spoken about the tax implications of the first 6 months. In terms of the visa, this particular visa, in the first 6 months, people won't be charged tax?
That is what is expected.
Yeah.
And we await to hear the final outcome on that.
And that is part of the enticement. That is part of saying, please come here. Then after that, people start to get taxed.
Yeah. So you'll have to register with SARS after the first 6 months. But again, this is it's expected, and we eagerly wait in anticipation to see what the final tax implications are going to be.
You're obviously excited about this. You think it's a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
What should South Africans, given the calls you've listened to now, be considering, whether they're excited or not?
I think it comes down, and again, I've said this so many times throughout this interview, but it really comes down to the economic benefit. Foreign funds into a country are one of the best ways that we can move forward. We need foreign funds coming into the country.
And those foreign funds can be from Zimbabwe too, right?
Absolutely. Because
I think it's important that people understand that this visa, this remote visa regime, is not just for people out in Europe and in the United States.
Absolutely. It's Botswana, Namibia,
anywhere in the world, including African countries.
Absolutely.
As long as they fit the criteria of all of that stuff. Because, you know, maybe we didn't emphasize that enough. Mm. Listen, Kerry, it's a conversation we're going to have to keep having, and we need to keep watching what all of the eventualities are around this. But the immigration conversation in South Africa is always a heated one, and rightfully so, I think. And I think we need to just keep watching this conversation. Thank you so much for coming,
Aubrey,
through. How do people
so
get in
much.
Touch with you?
Thanks so much for having me. You can get hold of me on my personal cell, which is 060-354-2071 or contact@expatweb.com.